Today's title, A Calling. What does that mean, a calling? Let's begin with going to God. Most loving, kind, wonderful Father, Son, and Spirit, you have poured out your love on each one of us. Every day we experience the gift of being loved by you. And God, today as we go through this message, I just pray that you would speak the words you want, that you would change anything that I may say to where it's heard exactly as you want. God, what a gift you are, and we praise you and thank you and ask that you would be here in your presence in us. In Christ's name, amen. A calling, this is a dictionary definition, is a strong urge towards a particular way of life, career, or a vocation. And then we can look at it and maybe it's to be what you were meant to be. I know if you are invested in something that you were meant to be in, it just feels natural. There's no rough edges, there's no struggle. Being, and this comes from a New Identity magazine from 2 years ago, being called means diving into intimacy with Jesus and following him wherever he leads you. Relationships with God is the ultimate calling. So as we look at that, each one in here can take and remember somewhere in their past that calling that Jesus directed toward you. Now, many in here grew up from children on. So the concept of a calling, it's kind of a little bit different because that's what you've always grown up with. But somewhere in that mix, things changed. You responded. I'm going to quote from Paul, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Do I do this? Put your name in front of this and read that as if it's written directly to you, which it is. I'm going to pick back up with verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Again, take that time to go back and put your name and insert this as a personal message to you. Again, the hope of your calling. So we're not sitting in here by accident. This is ordained by God. Today's text that was read earlier is Mark 1, 14 through 20. Mark in his gospel gives us a quick look in the ministry of Jesus, a ministry of preaching and calling. Mark introduces the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In Mark 14 and 1, 14 through 15, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. A couple of points here. The kingdom of God has come, past tense. That means it's already there. John the Baptist had been removed from the scene. That's how this starts out. John the Baptist, his role had been fulfilled. So he is removed from the scene, and Jesus has arrived, and there is no turning back. In essence, we're moving forward. We're moving on. John's ministry of preparation is over. Jesus has arrived in Galilee, a small, isolated corner of the world. It's not a palace. It's not an elaborate place. It's just this little, small community. Jesus didn't come to a large metropolitan area, not in the perceived center of the stage, so often marked by power, prestige, and popularity. So you think about someone that ultimately is going to be the role of Jesus. He didn't come in with all the fanfare, with people shouting and the joy and all of that. He came to a small, isolated corner of the world. He didn't come on the scene in a big fanfare. There was no elaborate. Jesus was just there. When Jesus comes to us, we can trust that we are at the very center of the universe. Do you realize when you are communing with Jesus that that's as close to the center of the universe that you could possibly be? You are locked step in step with Jesus. Following Jesus will not be easy. Think about and reflect on the fact that as Jesus is in your midst, what's that do for you? What does that look like? Is it something that you even acknowledge? And we know, and I think if you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, following Jesus is not going to be easy. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be things that are thrown at you to try and derail your approach. No matter what we face, we can always turn to the one who is forever and immovably turned towards us. Jesus is always there. And here's the question. When things happen in our world, do we go to Jesus first or as a last resort? Depends on the situation, depends on the time of day, depends on the day of the week, depends on how you began that day. There's a lot of variables. But I thought about this, and there's days that I go right to Jesus first. Unfortunately, there's also days that he's my last resort. I tried to do, tried to fix, tried to correct without including him. Verse 15 is a declaration of something that has already taken place. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. We're living with the kingdom of God right here with us, in our presence. What is the response? Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent means to change your mind and act accordingly. Believe in the gospel to trust in a new path that is good for us. So when we talk about repenting and believing in the gospel, we change the direction we're going. And we trust that whatever God is leading us is a better step. And that is tough because sometimes his view of what's better for me is a whole lot different than what's better for me. It's painful. It's a challenge. And other times it just flows and you absolutely know that you are walking step in step with Jesus. Repentance is a joyful turning to the Lord and a deliberate turning away from all that prevents us from knowing him. When we repent, is it joyful? In one sense, we made choices. We're not going down that road anymore. We're moving forward, and it's a deliberate choice. As we go through Mark, he moves quickly into Jesus' ministry of calling. And if you were a part of the Mark study that we had a few years ago, you will remember that one of the favorite words that Mark has is immediately or quick. His story is not a lot of background and fluff and detail. It's bare bones and it's moving. And he talks quickly and moves forward very fast. In verse 16 of chapter 1, as Jesus passed through the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately, Mark's word, they left their nets and followed him. Do we move immediately when Jesus kind of directs our lives? Sometimes yes, and sometimes not so much. But to picture this in the Sea of Galilee, they're walking along, and a little sidebar this past week was a lesson that talked about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And with those elementary kids in Bible study, we were able to talk about and reflect on what that looked like. Imagine what that looked like for these two brothers to be casting a net on the shore there out into the water, and Jesus called. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called, and they left their father in the boat and hired men and followed him. Jesus is on a journey, and he's on the move, and he's calling as he goes. Jesus' calling is a special one. Do you recognize the call that Jesus has put on you as being special? It's reserved for those who are entrusted with the keys of the kingdom and the charge to pass on to the message of the gospel to future generations. So that's part of our calling, is to protect and care and reflect on what God has given us through Jesus, but it's also to share that information. Jesus' calling to you is personal. The calling that the one that's sitting next to you or across the aisle from you probably wasn't exactly the same. Everyone was personal. You are that special to Jesus that he intentionally worked in the needs that you needed to hear. Do you hear his calling to you? It's not just a one and done. He calls to us daily. All we have to do is listen. He is first and foremost calling us into a relationship with him. As was mentioned in the introduction earlier, that relational aspect is what Jesus is all about. Jesus doesn't just see us as isolated individuals. We are connected together, and it's not just a one-way activity. We can interact with him. We can talk to him. And if we listen, we may not hear an audible voice, but we will get the direction that he wants for us. Going back, Jesus sees Simon and Andrew. He knows they're brothers. They are fishermen. No boat is mentioned. So they would have been casting nets from the shore. Were they fishing from the shore? It appears that way, possibly indicating they were not very well off. They were doing the best with what they had, but the nets may have been all they did have to fish with. Jesus has seen them for who they are. He calls them into something far greater than what must have been left behind. And what was their response? It was immediate. And you think, well, they didn't have much to give up. They gave up all they had. When he talks about James and John, they left their nets, which is equivalent to leaving all they knew. The question that comes up in that, do I hold on to my old ways? Do I have pieces that are kind of in my world that I don't let go of? Those are mine, and I'm with you, Jesus, but let's don't go here. James and John are also brothers and fishermen. They have a boat and hired hands, indicating they were doing pretty well in the fishing business. I mean, they weren't fishing from the shore. And they weren't fishing just the two of them. They had hired help. So they were, by indications of this, a little more affluent. Jesus calls us according to his timing and not ours. None of them got up that morning and probably anticipated Jesus calling them into his ministry. Our status, where we are in life, is not important to Jesus. You know, if you were born with a proverbial silver spoon, or if you were born to a whole lot less than that, it doesn't matter to Jesus. Our status doesn't indicate where he has us. Who we are is what is important to Jesus. Who we are. Who is that? A child of God. Many people, and I ran into that in the last couple of days, get a little pushback when I talk about you're a child of God. They want to argue. No. Why is that? Because they're still holding on to something inside that says, I'm not good enough. We are all called to leave everything behind to follow him into his good kingdom in which he reigns. Think about this for a moment. Even if we could, would we really want to bring our baggage with us into God's kingdom? And I thought of that and I thought, well, of course not. Why can't I let it go now? That's something that only you can answer. Are you listening? Am I listening to that concept? Jesus' ministry is a message that the kingdom of God is at hand. Do we hear the Lord calling us? Not the same as the first time or the second time or the third time. But on a daily basis, do we hear the Lord calling? Are there things we need to immediately leave behind in order to follow him? That's your call. That's between you and Jesus. Do we need to take another look at who Jesus is? To again hear the good news of the kingdom? Is it fresh to us, or is it, I've heard this 100 times, 1,000 times. I understand Jesus is here for me. I reflect this back to, you've all met someone that is very new in their calling, their acceptance of Jesus. And they are excited. They're asking all kinds of questions. They don't know. They want to know more. They want to know more. They want to know more. At what point do we get to, okay, I've heard this before. And it's not the excitement that it once was. Has Jesus become old hat? I don't know. Do we embrace the promise that Jesus calls us into a life better than we could ever achieve? Do you feel like you're living in a life that is totally and completely consumed and blessed by Jesus Christ? Do you trust this promise that we are called into a life better than we could ever achieve on our own? No matter how many times we hear this, our response is, repent and believe in the gospel. And follow the Lord who is calling you on a daily basis. There should never be a time that is just old hat. Oh, I've heard this before. Pull out the Gospels and read through each one. They tell the same story, but they put a lot of different background, depending on which writer you're reading about. Read through Luke and immediately go into the book of Acts, which is in effect a continuation of Luke, the gospel. Reflect on Proverbs or the Psalms. If you're really brave, read Lamentations. There's information in there. It just drags on. But it's still God's word. Trust the promise that Jesus is still calling you. He's still wanting to work with you. He's still wanting you to be excited to be called by him. If you would join me in prayer. Most kind and wonderful, loving God, thank you for Jesus Christ and for the examples of his calling of people. God, we thank you that you have called us through Jesus to be with you. I know again today the movie or the script and video of The Chosen, and we've seen Jesus interacting with people. We have seen his calling of people. We get a visual representation of what that's like. God, help us see what that is in our life, that we can visualize and appreciate and learn and see and wake up every morning with a joy of looking forward to what the calling is for the day, for what Jesus has for us in the day, even if it's a bumpy day. We know that Jesus is there with us. God, I thank you, I praise you, and I do ask that you would help each one of us in that calling. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the communion meal, I want to read John 6, 53 through 56 to begin with. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." And then in John 6, verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus has given this to us to help us remember him, to have him be in us, to be a part of our daily life. So as you come to the table, come with joy, with thankfulness that Jesus provided this meal for us. If you would again join me in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for this communion meal that is provided to us to draw us completely and totally into that relationship and connection with you and the sacrifice that Jesus gave so that all of this is possible. I ask that you would bless the elements at the table, that you would work with each one of us as we come forward, that we can truly understand that you are calling us daily to be in that relationship with you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The calling is there for us. The opportunity to remember Jesus is here at the table. Let's enjoy today. Let's appreciate the calling that Jesus has given to each one of us.
Let's pray. Father, we close this service by thanking you for all the love and blessings you bestow on us. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice for our sins and for being our bridge that allows us to approach the Father. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us, helping us to live according to the Father's will. Be with us always. Help us to be aware of the revelations you send to us, both large and small. Help us to act on them so that we can be closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll finish our service with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I hope you all have a great week.